Beautiful, thank you. The gospel reading is from Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 33 and following, and these are the words of Jesus. None of you lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it's hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, you put it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part is dark, I will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I want to continue the series on friendship, and this morning I'm going to think about healthy boundaries. Next week will be the last in our series on friendship, which is two friends that everyone needs, but this morning I want to think about healthy boundaries and get started with something that's a little different. I heard about this college professor who was an atheist. He was just adamant about being an atheist, and so he wanted to prove to his class that there was no God. So he said in front of his whole class, he said, listen, if God exists, then God needs to knock me off this chair stool in the next 15 minutes. So for the next minutes, he went on taunting God and saying there's no God and making fun of the students who believed in God. And right at the last minute, a 300-pound football player came charging in from the hallway and knocked him off the stool and down on the floor. And the professor was laying there and said, what do you think you're doing? The football player said, God said he was busy, so he sent me. I know a few professors that wouldn't mind seeing that happen to, but in any case, I don't know if that has anything to do with friendship or healthy boundaries, but it's nice to get started with something a little bit humorous. This morning I want to think about friendship. We talked about three keys to friendship. We talked about listening and sharing and commitment. We talked about that God is our friend, and God calls us by name and knows us by name, for God created us. And we talked about two fears. We talked about the fear of vulnerability and the fear of rejection that often hold us back from deep friendship. And then last week we talked about a community of friends. But as a church, as a family of faith, we're called to be friends and how we can deepen that friendship in different ways by being closer and deeper and broader in our friendship. This morning I want to talk about healthy boundaries when it comes to friendship and life in general. There's a poem here that Robert Frost wrote, but you probably heard that saying that good fences make good neighbors, right? Good fences make good neighbors. And how does that work, and how does that mean anything in relationships? So let's just take a look at that this morning, because I think there's some truths that are there. But the first thing is to say that there is a real tension there. It's not something you can say that's simple and easy. Because on the one hand, Jesus did say you're supposed to be salt and light in the world. And he said that we look at Jesus' life, it's like he loved everyone. And so if Jesus loved everyone and seemed to answer most everyone's call and what they asked him to do, does that mean that you and I, as Christians, must love everyone? If we love everyone, do we need to be friends with everyone? And do we need to do, therefore, everything that everyone asks us, even if it just leaves nothing left for us? So here's some more questions that, like this. Can I set limits and be a loving person? What are sort of healthy boundaries? What are boundaries at all? And when can I say no? Aren't boundaries selfish and what? And here's what I'd like to say in terms of boundaries. I'd like to read this. There's two great Christian counselors that are probably the foremost people when it comes to studying boundaries in the field of psychology and counseling. And the great thing about it is they're both Christians. They're very strong Christians. They've written a number of books together and also separately, and they're by name of Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend. So let me listen, just read what they say about what boundaries are so you can have an idea of that. And here's what they say. Having clear boundaries is essential to a healthy, balanced lifestyle. A boundary is a personal property line that marks those things for which we are responsible. In other words, boundaries define who we are and who we are not. Boundaries impact all areas of our life. Physical boundaries help us determine who may touch us and under what circumstances. Mental boundaries give us freedom to have our own thoughts and opinions. Emotional boundaries help us deal with our own emotions and disengage from harmful, manipulative emotions of others. Spiritual boundaries help us distinguish God's will from our own and give us renewed awe of our creation. Often people focus so much on being loving and unselfish that they forget their own limits and limitations. When confronted with their lack of boundaries, they ask, can I set limits and still be a loving person? What are legitimate boundaries? What if someone is upset or hurt by my boundaries? How do I answer someone who wants my time, love, energy, or money? Aren't boundaries selfish? Why do I feel guilty or afraid when I consider setting boundaries? And so those are some of the things that they put out there. And they have lots of helpful information and some good helpful books. But this morning, I'd like to think about those boundaries when it comes to friendship. Because if we don't have boundaries when it comes to friendship, then we can end up doing what everyone else wants us to do, and we end up going the way of whatever the wind is blowing. And here's what I'd say, one of the things to say about that, which is, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Because we tend to go the way of our closest friends. And so we need to be intentional about who our closest friends are. And here's some words from Proverbs 13:20. It says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So in other words, if you walk with the wise, you become wise, and if you walk with the fools, you become a fool, probably, in sort of a stark way. And in Proverbs 12:26, it says this, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And 1 Corinthians 13:33, Paul says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Let me say it again, because that's just right to the point. Bad company corrupts good character. So there's a sense in which we meet people by chance, but our core friends we make by choice. We meet people by chance, but our core friends we can choose by choice. Now, think about that for a moment. I'll put it like this. I don't know if there's anyone else here besides myself who's ever gotten in trouble in their life. Anyone at all? And chances are, if you got in trouble, was it by yourself? Rarely is it by yourself. It's usually with friends, especially friends that steer you in the right direction. Now, I have any great stories where I live such an awful, wretched life, you know, that I did a few instances, you know, when I think about that I can at least tell you about. My first year in college, I was working, actually went to college full-time and was in engineering full-time. I had five guys that were in one room, one studio apartment, just one room. In fact, we had a restroom that was like a four-story house, and we had to go and they had restrooms down the hallway. So it was a big room, and three different shifts at General Electric, and wiring control systems for trains and rapid transits and oil drilling equipment. And we made good money, but we just had fun being together, and so we had things going on all kinds of times. We had people just always going, and people were trying to sleep, and people watching TV all in this one room. And we got to talking, and we just got back from second shift, and it was like midnight. So someone was saying it, and they said, do you know that at the fish farm, and that big flood early in the week, that because of that storm, one of those big trout ponds, the dam broke, and now all those big trout are down where the little trout are, where everybody is. And someone said, why don't we go fishing at the trout farm? Well, said when? I said, now, it's midnight, we'll never get caught. Now, that's where you want, good friends are going to tell you, that's not a good idea. That's trespassing, that's illegal. But we looked around, and no one said, don't do it. So someone else said, I think that's a great idea. No one said, that's a stupid idea, which it was. So, of course, what we did, we piled into this boat, we got our fishing rod, and in the middle of the night, we drove out in the middle of nowhere. There was no lights out there, there's no street lights or anything, so we thought we knew where it was, so we parked the car. And then we started to make our way through the field. And finally, we almost got lost, but we finally found the pond. And so we just got our fishing gear out, and we started to fish. And of course, all the geniuses we forgot bait. But you know, the great thing about having a trout farm, you don't need bait. You can just throw your hook out there, put it really in the trout. All of a sudden, you listen, and someone goes, what's that? And you listen and go, like, that sounds like a dog. And someone said, well, it must be tied up. And someone else is thinking, who came up with the idea, yo, I think they have guard dogs. And we said, are they tied up? And they said, no. So, you're like, how can you forget that detail? So all of a sudden, it's like we heard this barking and it was moving. So we kept seeing it, and someone was going, like, we gotta go. Here we were, we were told, and run, and then we couldn't find the car. So, and we got separated, and we were worried about these dogs coming after us and all this going on. So we got to the road, and then we couldn't find the car. Well, we looked down the road, we couldn't find it, and finally, we realized that the other guy got to the car first and left. So we're just going crazy because we didn't know where the dog was going to get it. So we started running down the road, and then he came wheeling up with the lights off at the last minute. Goes like, "Where are we going?" He goes, "Well, I just thought I'd come and find you." Bye. So anyway, someone should have said that's not a good idea. So there's other things in my life, and you probably have those things too. But the point is, when we get in trouble, it's rarely alone. And when we're on the right track, we usually have people who help us keep on the right track. And so one of the things about boundaries is you have to learn to say no so you can say yes. You have to learn to say no so you can say yes. And boundaries help us spiritually because there's things you have to say no to so you can say yes. Even with our friends, you know, you can love everyone, but you can't be friends with everyone. Okay? You can love everyone, but you can't be friends with everyone. And when you look at Jesus, Jesus was a person who loved everyone and gave of himself just, you know, unselfishly. But Jesus had 12 disciples. And of those 12 disciples, three were his core disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he spent more time with the 12 than he did the old people around him. He spent more time with those three than he did with the other 12. And he discipled them. And Jesus also had some times in his life when he looked at him and he said, "No, I can't go with you now. I need to pray. I need to go and spend time with my Father in prayer." And there's other times when people came to Jesus and Jesus said, "I can't go now, but I'll come when I can." And Jesus really had good boundaries when you think about that. And so we don't become so deluded in our lives. We need to have strong friendships. We need to have strong friends because, as Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. So we meet people by chance, but we select our closest core friends, that closest three or four people by choice. So the question I asked all of us this morning is, who are your three or four closest friends? Who are the people that you know that are sort of in the middle between that core people? Are you able to say no and not feel guilty about it? And you can help, we all can help people. We can't help everyone do everything because then we won't have anything left for ourselves. And if we can't say no to some people, then we're not going to have anything left for our family. And if we can't say no to other people, then we're going to sort of unconsciously be saying no to our family. And we have to be able to have priorities for God and for church and for worship. We need to have priorities for our family. And then in all things, our character needs to be reinforced by the people that are closest to us. And that's really what healthy boundaries are all about. Again, the Proverbs says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." And then also, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." And then again, Paul says, "Bad company corrupts good character." And I don't think any verse really demonstrates it better, probably, than Paul in Romans when he says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So when you think about being conformed to the pattern of this world, I mean, that's something that happens in a pattern that we don't normally see. But where do our patterns come from? Probably from our closest friends. You know, that media has an impact, and movies, and magazines, and all kinds of things. But our closest friends have a way of sort of making a pattern in our life. And so is that pattern in our life Christ-like that we choose? And is that something then that reinforces us so we can shine our light in the world? Then Paul says, "You should, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that, of course, metamorphosis is the root word of that word, transform. But you think about what renews our mind. What renews our heart in a God-like way? Well, certainly we have to take time for prayer, we have to take time for worship, we have to take time for Bible study, but nothing probably renews it in a certain way than quality friends who restore and renew our minds. When we're going through difficulty, they restore us, they inspire us. When we're going through good times, it's like the burdens are divided and the joys are multiplied, and God has that in our life for us. And here's the best example I can think of, and I like what Billy Graham said about this. He said, "You can have a boat in the water, and that's not a problem. But when the water gets in the boat, that's a problem." I mean, think about that. You know, a good boat out in the ocean is not a problem, but when the ocean starts getting in the boat, there's a big problem coming. And that's the same way with us in the world. It's not a problem when you and I are in the world, but when the world gets in us, that's a problem. So you and I could be in the world, we could be salt and light, but when the world starts to get in us, when our values begin to reflect the world instead of that of Christ, then, when our priorities begin to reflect that of the world instead of that of Christ, then that's a problem. And one of the things that keeps sort of the shell of the boat intact is our closest friends. And so ask yourself, who are the friends that I have? Or the people that I can trust and sort of that reinforce my Christian boundaries, or the people that help me and really nurture me along life's way? Are they people that love me and love the choices that I make? So this morning, just in your mind, think about who are my three or four closest friends. And all of us want to have relationships where we want to lead people to Christ. And I think that's a different relationship. But who are the three or four people that I can go to with anything that will help me make that choice that's hard, or will sort of pick me up when I'm feeling down? And I ask you respectfully, are they Christians? Are they young men and women or older men and women of faith and foundational people? You can say, you know, they really reinforce my boundaries, and they help me have healthy boundaries in a positive, productive way. It's a wonderful story, true story, of a man by the name of, actually a sculptor by the name of Johann Heinrich von Daniker. He's a great sculptor in the 18th century, and he wanted to sculpt a marble sculpture of Christ, and so he worked for years on this sculpture of the figure of Christ, and he decided when he was done with that sculpture, after working on it a couple of years, that he would want a sort of a litmus test of how well that reflected Christ. And he knew that if he asked older people, people like himself or educated people, if it was Christ, they, you know, who it was, they would know. They would recognize. But he decided the real test was to get someone, a young person off the street. And so he went out to the street, he got this young girl. He actually came in and he had this cloth over this marble statue and this cloth, and there was this figure of Jesus, and he asked this little girl, he said, "Who is that?" And the little girl looked at him, the sculpture, and she shook her head and she said, "I don't know, but it must be someone very great." And he said, "Okay, thank you." And with that, he just was pierced in his heart. And he said, "If this little girl can't tell that that's Christ, then it's not really the true Christ." And so he dedicated himself for the next 6 years of deciding to sculpture Christ and to study Christ, to spend time in prayer. And with that, he sculptured for 6 years. And then he did the same thing. He went out into the street and he got a little girl and he brought her in, and then he removed this cloth and removed this marble statue of Christ. And he said, "Who is that?" And little tears began down his face, this little girl, and she knew right away. She said, that's Jesus. And she was so moved by the statue, and then he knew that was the figure of Christ that he wanted. He became so famous that Napoleon came up to von Daniker after this, and he asked him to sculpture a statue of the goddess Venus on the Louvre. Now, the Louvre is, to this day, one of the finest museums in the world, the finest museum in Paris, and the finest museum in all France. And this was Napoleon. And Napoleon came up to von Daniker and said, "Would you sculpture the figure of Venus for the Louvre?" And here's what he said. He turned it down, and he said, "No. A man who has seen Christ can never employ his gifts in carving out a pagan goddess." Can you think about the values that demonstrates, and his ability to say no to Napoleon of all people, the ability to say no to the opportunity to have his sculpture in the finest museum probably in the whole world of classic art. And he was able to do that because he said he spent that much time with Christ. And I wonder in our lives how much time we spend with Christ, and who is there to reinforce that so that people can look at our lives and know that we're salt and light in the world. You and I, in order to be able to do that effectively, we do have to say no sometimes. Want us to do something that's wrong. But we need to have a core of healthy friends and healthy boundaries to help us reinforce that so that our lives reflect Christ. Bad company corrupts good character. Who are your closest friends? Are there people that reinforce that you love everyone and your life in a darker world, but you have your closest 12, and then you have your even closer 3, and those 3 reinforce who you are and your faith and your love, and they help you to strengthen each and every day your faith so that you can be a beacon of light in the world. We go for it. Gracious God, we're so thankful for your example of love and the challenge you give us in your word. Boundaries are a difficult thing to think about, but they're so important in our life. Help us to have boundaries that honor you, and help us to choose friends that honor those boundaries and that we might have healthy relationships, and so that we're able to say no to the right things, and yes to things that are really important in life, and yes to the people who are really important in life, and yes especially to you. Help us all to grow in your word so we may be salt and light in our world. We pray this to your power and to your glory. Amen.